The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for exposing the masters within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, June 19th, 2012. For those listening live, happy Father's Day to everyone out there. Father or not, I'll get to that in a moment. And, of course, it's some other day, whenever you might be listening, if you're listening to the recording. Welcome. And, as always, let's start with making those connections. And today is a fairly big topic. I don't know if it's a fairly long topic, but it's a big topic. So I'd like to jump right into making those connections. And to start with, we go within. It's about opening to your own inner mastery, your divinity, the highest light, the highest energy that you already are. It's not what you're trying to become. It's what you already are. And so allow yourself through whatever pathway, whatever version, whatever vision allows you to open into that within yourself, through your heart, through your solar plexus, through your gut. Whatever way you can allow yourself to connect with your divinity, just breathe into that and breathe that up. Breathe it into expanded conscious expression. Wonderful. And continuing to allow that to occur throughout this session, and as long as you are able, we would like to move on as well to opening to that deepest connection, the most complete connection, into the Mother Earth. And again, whatever pathways, whatever vision or version works best for you, opening your feet or your root chakras or every cell in your body, just allow yourself to open to that connection, to receiving the love and support of Mother Earth coming into your energy field, filling you up. Allow yourself to breathe that up and in to expand throughout your being. And open as well for that reciprocal flow, that flow of your gratitude, of your love, and even of your support back to our Mother Earth. And as we open up the flow in both directions, it expands. And we're able both to receive more and to give more. And just as you breathe, feel that flow. The inhalation, the receiving, the exhalation, the giving. All right. And let's move on yet again. Allowing that connection with the earth to continue, the connection to your own divinity to continue, and both of them even to expand as we go further into this hour. And yet we also open up to our connection to all of those beings, masters and teachers, mentors, angels, guides, all those beings who are here supporting us at this time, who are here supporting us in this process of coming into our mastery more fully, in this process of awakening into our divinity more fully. And once more, open up to receive that flow from them. Open your heart, open your mind, open your third eye, your crown, whatever might work best for you, to receive their love and support as that energy comes to you. It's always there, it's always available, but allow your focus to cause you to expand. Allow your choice to cause you to expand in your willingness to receive it, in your willingness to experience it. And once more, as with the Mother Earth, while that energy is coming into you, open up as well to allow your love and gratitude and, again, even your support to flow back to these beings, these divine beings, these divine supporters that we have. And as we open the flow in both directions, both flows expand, so we're able to receive more and we're able to offer more. And just allow that flow of what you're receiving to fill you more and more fully, allowing you to feel more and more comfortable within your own space, to be who you actually are. That's what awakening to our mastery is about. It's shedding the energies of limitation, the energies of separation, so that we allow that which we already are, that which we're just exposing, like the archaeologist brushing away the dirt from the old bone. We're exposing what's already down there, what's already in the center of us. And so again, as we allow that to continue through the rest of the time together that we share, we move on to the next level of connection. And that connection is the connection to this community, to all those who are here listening live as we create this together, and all those who will come to listen through the recording. It's connecting all of our energies together to co-create this. Linear time is irrelevant. You don't have to be here listening live to be co-creating this with me and with all the rest of us. You just need to choose to participate. And so, once more, we're opening to receive that shared intention, that energy of support that the shared intention gives us from all the rest of this community, and allow yourself to breathe that in. And the love that's there, love at its core, I believe, is acceptance. And this is a place where we are accepted, where all of the energies that are gathered to co-create this are accepting of one another, because our choice is to connect not with our limited self, not with our pain, not with our self-judgment or judgment of others. Our choice is to connect with that mastery and bring that up and recognize that that's the truth of who we are, both as individuals and as a community and as that larger community of all lightworkers and that larger community of all humanity. It's all of us. That's who we are. We are the divinity. We are that mastery. And so allow yourself to receive that support of those who share this vision with us, and also to allow your support to go out to them, to go to this community. And remember, that's coming out of our divinity. It's not coming out of our limited personal energy. It's coming out of our infinite selves. And so we can't open too much. We can't open in a way that will actually cause us to lose something. In the same way as we give back to Mother Earth, what we're doing is we're allowing more of our own divinity to express. So it's actually enhancing that discovery and exposure and expression of our mastery. Same thing here. As we open to share our support out with the rest of this community, we're allowing more of our divinity to flow. And that opens us up to experience more of the support of the rest of the community. And so really allow yourself to open to that as fully as you're able right now. Wonderful. And now let's expand out yet again. And this time we're expanding out to that community of all the light workers on the planet. And after having Jewel on the show last week on the program, it occurred to me to take that even further, because in truth, when I speak of light workers, what I'm speaking of is those in human body who are consciously seeking to expand their mastery, consciously seeking to step into self-empowerment. But in truth, everyone in a human body is a light worker. Everyone, whether they're doing that consciously or not, is part of this process. And so I expand that out to the light workers and all of humanity, the conscious light workers and the unconscious light workers. And again, the shared intention, that shared desire to come into and know our power supports us all. And so the more we open to that, the more we can feel supported in that awakening. And once more, allowing your energy, your divinity to flow back out to support the rest of that community of the conscious and the unconscious light workers of all of humanity, feeding everyone more energy. And the more we allow that, the more we receive. And the more we receive, the more we know our power, the more we can allow that to be shared from us. And so, really allow yourself to take all of this in. All these levels are going to continue flowing throughout this program. And indeed, they're flowing all the time. What we're doing at the beginning of the program is coming into more conscious connection with them, more conscious awareness of them, and bringing more conscious intention to them. And that, in essence, is the path of a light worker. Bringing conscious intention to the light that we are, to the mastery that we have. And, well, that brings me to where we're going to go today. And where we're going to go today is perhaps one of the biggest questions that humans tend to throw out there in the world, especially when they're doubting divinity. And it's the question of evil. But I'm going to pose it as the question of good and evil. What is that that we're perceiving as good and evil? What is it that we are opening to there? What is it we're experiencing there? Because it's a tough question. It's a tough question. But at the very core of the question is perhaps the answer to the question. And what I mean by that is good and evil. And right there, that's comparison. That's relativity, if you will. It's the relative value. Good is the positive, evil is the negative, so to speak. Right is the positive, wrong is the negative, etc. And that is built into this level of reality. Experiencing things in the polarities is a part of this level of reality. And, well, maybe I should, well, I won't should. Maybe I will choose at this moment to just give you the discernment reminder. It's in the show description. It certainly is in my intention all the time. But what I'm going to share today is completely my experience and my belief. But you need to know if it's true for you based on whether it makes sense, based on whether it feels true at the emotional level, and even down at the physical level. Because there are certain, well, there are a lot of people, and they're probably not listening to the program, but there are a lot of people for whom what I'm about to share would be disturbing. I find what I'm about to share very freeing. But back to power of good and evil and those polarities of experiencing that. And as I said already, one of those questions that people ask, it's almost a cliche or a stereotype. When someone is going through a crisis of trust, often what will get asked, and I don't know, God knows how many movies and writings this has shown up in. But they will ask, how can, and typically it's in this framework, how can a loving God allow the evil that exists in the world? And I would say, again, it depends on your perspective, but for me, that question is the answer to that question as well, in this way. Because for me, at its core, the more unconditional love is, the more accepting love is. So what we look at and perceive as evil, God loves and therefore accepts. Now, it's not the kind of love that we typically have or we think about having or that gets explored down here in our kinds of love. It's unconditional. What does that mean, unconditional? It means no conditions. It's love without placing any limitations. Now, perhaps a better question than that, how can a loving God allow evil, is how can a human act in ways that we would perceive as evil? Again, Hitler is thrown out as a very common, how could that have happened? Hitler is almost the definition of evil. And again, this is my core belief, but might not be yours. I believe that Hitler did the best that he could. It was pretty horrific, but he did the best that he could. I have no idea what his childhood was like. I have no idea what he as a soul came in here to choose to do. It was interesting. At a conference I was at years and years ago, one of the speakers there was someone who channeled a book, and purportedly this is what he said, he was channeling Hitler. And I never read the book, but it was an interesting perspective that he put forth. He didn't go into all the details, but he said basically that Hitler was a great soul who came in to create massive change in the world. Now, that was massive change, all right. Was it change for the better? Well, who can judge that? Who can judge that? Obviously, the people who were being tortured and killed didn't necessarily think it was for the better during that time, but who can say what their souls might think of it? What the lessons or the experiences might have been out of that? Out of that came things of great beauty. I am speaking of the Diary of Anne Frank. I'm speaking of the story of Schindler's List. I'm speaking of all of those individual efforts on, well, quite frankly, millions of people's parts to overcome evil, to step up and say, we can't allow this to stand. Again, regardless of what your politics might be, it did bring the United Nations forth out of that. And the idea at a much higher level than with the League of Nations, probably, a much higher level of, we are all in this together on this planet. So it certainly was moving planetary consciousness toward a larger picture of the community of humanity and the community of states. So, again, that may be a completely irrelevant side note to the point I'm trying to make, but from our perspective in human bodies, in the experience of separation that we're in, we are almost required to judge things as good and evil, right and wrong. That's what the filters that we are living are doing. We look out at the world and say, that's good, that's not. And yet, how often are we wrong? How often do we misjudge people? We have the word betrayal in our language for a reason. What is that? Well, that's us coming to the experience of having judged someone as good and found out that they fit our definition of evil. They cross that line somewhere. They do something that's not okay. Wherever that line is drawn for each of us. And how can that be? And maybe I am overgeneralizing as I say this next point. But I certainly believe that every one of us has the capacity, if the circumstances were correct, to do what we might at some other time call evil. I certainly believe every human has the capacity to kill another human. Just depends on the circumstances we're in. I know I do. Not something I think about a lot, not something that actually comes into my mind or into my emotions very often. But I've been angry enough where that was something that I felt. That if that person was right in front of me and I had a gun, I don't know if I could control myself. Never manifested it. Don't think I will. But I believe it's there. I believe it's there. And I believe it's there in all of us. So for me to look outside of me at someone else and say that person is evil because of what they do, that doesn't work for me. And so I come back around to a statement I made earlier. And I first heard this statement in channeling that I did, that I offered, but it deeply resonated with me, so much so that it's something that is part of, I don't know, definitely my personal belief system, but it's one of those thoughts, again, that gives me comfort, that each one of us is doing the absolute best we can in the moment with what we know. With where we came from. And that may not seem very good, but it's the best we can in that moment. And at this point, I want to tell a story, and I'm certainly not going to tell it very well in terms of very completely. And I don't even know if it's a true story, but I think it illustrates a very good point. And it's something that I read in an email, you know, one of those inspirational emails that get sent around. So some of you may have read it as well. And it was a story about a college professor, and I'm not even sure what the professor taught. I think it was philosophy, but I could be wrong. And the discussion somehow on the first day of class got turned to this kind of topic of good and evil. And or God, something like that. And the punchline at the end, although not a punchline in the sense of a joke, but the punchline at the end is that the student that ended up arguing with the teacher was actually Albert Einstein, which makes me believe that the story is not true because I know he had trouble with schooling, and this presented it almost like it was a college freshman coming in and having these arguments. But what Einstein was talking about in the story, in the email, was he got the philosopher, the teacher, to talk about light and dark, I believe. And the argument was made that light and dark, from a physical perspective, dark is the absence of light. And there was, well, maybe that's not exactly it. Actually, I think it may have been about heat and cold, that there's not really such a thing as cold. There's only absence of heat. And what came at the end of the email, of the story, was a comparison being made, that evil is the absence of God, the absence of divinity. And in some ways, that makes perfect sense to me. What we would experience as evil is someone who has so little connection to their divinity, and from that, as I know I've talked about probably ad nauseum previously, we are here and we don't know our divinity fully. We don't experience our divinity fully, so we don't know our value fully. So we're reaching outside of ourselves to try and prove our value to ourselves. And we're doing that through our actions. And those actions get distorted sometimes. We try to hold on to our value through things that in other circumstances would not be good, would not be what we would judge as good. It wouldn't necessarily fall to evil, but it might fall to bad, that side of the scale. For instance, how often have you, I know I have, how often have you lied to try and protect your self-image or your image in someone else's eyes? Whether it's a lie of omission where you're just not telling all the details, or an actual lie where you're directly lying and saying, no, that's not true. We do that to cover our tracks at times. I believe most everyone has probably done that. But we're doing it because we're trying to find our value. And I believe that that's where that energy that we would label as evil comes from, because we're trying to prove our value. And in many cases, the only way that someone in a certain circumstance can feel better about themselves, him or herself, is to feel better in comparison. Again, we're back to that relativity. And so the way that we feel better is to put somebody else down, to make them less than, or to treat them less than, which obviously talking about them is one way of treating them, but it can also be physical abuse. It can all go all the way to things like rape and murder. I'm more powerful than you, therefore I have some value. I can do this to you, therefore I have some value. And certainly these are extremes, but they wouldn't be labeled as evil if they weren't. And, well, I think I want to bring in here a topic that... Time to transition and kind of get to more of the point. And I've shared this with certain people, and it concerns some more of the work that I'm here to do that I've been getting guidance in over the last 6 or 7 months. And I'm going to be stepping out, going to Washington, D.C. this week to do some of this work. But in order to explain it, I need to go back to one of the first group channelings I ever did. And it was an interesting group. They asked some really, really interesting questions. One of them was asking about demons. And I don't remember the context of the question that she asked specifically. But what I do remember very, very clearly is the answer that was given. And the answer started with, well, what I certainly believe to be true. But it started with the idea that we as humans could not conceive of the totality of God. In other words, God was much larger than we in our mental capacity could understand, could comprehend, could quantify. Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. It feels true. That was the first part of the answer. And another part of the answer dealt with something that, being raised Catholic, was a core part of my beliefs even as a child. And I've actually only come to embrace this part even further now, doing what I do. And, well, it was kind of a three-part belief back then, that God was omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and I really think I pronounced this incorrectly, but omnipresent, which means everywhere, everywhere. And I truly believe, and it's one of the reasons why one of the most common terms I use for divinity is the all. When I'm talking about God or goddess or whatever, I like to use the word the all, because if you truly comprehend the all, or to the degree that we can comprehend the all, it does mean everything. It means everywhere, in every moment, in every action, in every experience, everything that I've ever experienced has been me as divinity, as part of the all, experiencing with other parts of divinity, whether that's other people, animals, plants, the desk, the books. Everything is made up of divinity because there's nothing else. There is only divinity. Our perception down here in the realm of separation on this planet in the third dimension or the fourth dimension or whatever dimension you might think we're in, our perception is that there are polarities and that some of the things on the good side of the polarity, that's where divinity lives. And the things on the bad side of the polarities, that's where divinity is not. That's where evil is. That's where Satan is. That's where that comes from. It's not of God. But what was said in that channeling, and what I deeply believe, is that it's all God. And they've said this phrase in channeling quite a bit. We are the nerve endings of God. We're here as the points of experience. We are giving God the experience of self. And literally, the all is the all. And we are all divine all the time. And so when we are having these experiences that would get labeled as evil, or even reading about them, you read about a horrific murder, or you read about genocide, or you read about whatever else might fall in that category of evil for you. That, from the soul's perspective, is no different than us having a dream in which that kind of thing occurs, or reading a book or watching a movie in which that kind of thing occurs. It's a story. We can participate in it. We can empathize with it to a degree. We can connect with it to a degree. But it's a story, and it's not the whole story. It's never the whole story. Because our consciousness in human form is limited. We cannot conceive of, we cannot experience the totality of everything in this form that we're in the physical human form. And so that was the next piece. That we can't understand God. We can't understand divinity. We can't understand the all. It's much larger than we can grasp. And the all being the all, there's nothing that's not the all. There's nothing that's not divine, including everything we label as evil. And so, moving on again, further into that answer, they talked about demons and said, demons are not what you think they are. They are not evil. They are not here to inflict pain on humanity or to suck the life out of humanity or to use humanity or anything else. They are out of their element. It's like a fish out of water. That fish, until the moment it dies, is going to be in great pain if you take it out of water and it's just flopping around on the beach. Or it would be like us trying to live underwater without scuba gear. It wouldn't take very long before we would be in tremendous pain, all kinds of fear, and we would be thrashing around. And anyone who was near us was soon going to be in pain too, because that we would kick them, we would tear at them, we might even drown them to try and save ourselves. Would that be because we were evil? No, it would be because of the circumstances we were in and the pain we were in. And so demons are beings that don't belong here. And by being here, they're in tremendous pain. And it is that pain that creates that experience that we have of them as evil. If you've ever had an experience of them, and there are many people out there who don't believe they exist, that's okay too. I've actually had personal experience with a couple, but thankfully I had this channeling first. And so the final piece of the answer that was given in that channeling about demons was another part of the problem. And if you watch The Exorcist or that kind of thing, those kinds of movies or stories, often when someone is trying to deal with a demon, that kind of energy, they're going to try and send it to the light. Now, they may try and send it to hell, but that's not necessarily going to work either. But by sending it to the light, they're going to send it to that portion of the whole creation, all that is, that they would experience most as heaven. Well, demons don't come from this neighborhood. They don't belong here. And so what we would experience as heaven and ultimate joy would be ultimate hell for them. It's almost as if our reality and the demonic reality are polarities as well. They don't mix well. And so the answer that was given in how to handle them is to stop trying to send them to the light and to send them back to their source. So if any of you happen to run across a demon, that's the way to handle it. and it works. And quite frankly, I've been amazed because the couple of times that I have come across those beings that I would describe that way, they were not disincarnate souls. They were not ghosts. They were so happy and so grateful that I would send them back where they came from, send them back to their source. It was just almost miraculous. But it also confirmed for me the underlying truth of what I'm talking about here today. And so I have not shared this new piece of my work that showed up in December with very many people. And part of the reason for that has to do with, not wanting to fight against anyone's disbelief and have their doubts being thrown at the work that I was going to be doing. Part of it had to do with not wanting to step into this from some kind of an ego, because it's a planetary level work. And certainly this is not universal, but I've known enough people who were doing light work who were in tremendous ego about how important what they were doing was. And I don't believe that about what I'm doing. I don't believe that about what anyone's doing. Everything that all of us are doing is important. We're each opening and expanding. And as we come more into our power, it's easier for everyone to come more into their power, etc. And so, you know, I didn't want to put this out there and say, look at me, look at how important this is, what I'm doing. But over the past couple of days, it came in very strongly for me to share this story today and to talk about this upcoming work that I'm going to be doing, to connect in the same way as when I'm doing this radio program, to connect into the community. In other words, that I don't have to do this alone, that I'm not doing this alone, that I have the energetic support of the Mother Earth herself, that I have the energetic support of my guides and angels, but that I also have this community of other light workers out here that I can call upon. And so by bringing more people on board with me consciously, that can only expand how much of that support I can allow, that I can ask for, and that I can receive as I'm stepping in to co-create this. Because although at this point, and who knows, I may get to where I'm going and find that there are other people waiting for me there to do this with me. But at this point, as far as I know, I'm the one person who will be there physically to do this work, at least this first one. Anyway, so let me go back to describing a little bit more of what it is. I brought up the demons for a reason. There are demons here. Now, how they got here depends on who you want to talk to or what you might believe. I believe they basically got here in one of two ways, that they kind of, and if you're one of those who follows science fiction kinds of stories, and this is also quantum physics, I believe, but the idea of wormholes where distant, vastly distant spaces can be connected, that override the boundaries of space and time, that they could have fallen through wormholes is one way they could have gotten here. And then they could have gotten here by some of the people who have been at least in how we might perceive them, more on the evil side of the spectrum of the polarities, very distant from any awareness of their own true value or any awareness of their own divinity, and actually called them here in some way or another, which is one of the aspects of satanic work or worship, so to speak. I don't particularly believe in Satan as a being, but that doesn't mean there aren't those who would seek to call in energies that don't belong here and try to manipulate them to expand their own sense of importance and power. And so, regardless of how they got here, there are those beings here. So, what came in December was that it was time to go close those wormholes that open into demonic dimensions or realities because they're leaking. In other words, there's an ongoing influx of that kind of energy that we would experience as demonic or as hell or as extremely negative going on. And we, the light workers on the planet, had gotten the vibration raised enough that they could be closed. And it's not accidental to me that since December 2010, I and the group that's gathered with me each month have been opening gateways, because essentially those gateways to bring in these higher vibrational energies, they're essentially wormholes. We're opening up to energy that has not been available here. We're opening up a doorway for it to come through, and we're bringing it through. And so one way of looking at it is we've been opening up wormholes. Now, of course, the energy that we're seeking to bring in is of that transcendent rather than, obviously, the demonic. But it's working with portals where energy is flowing into these dimensions. And so, again, not an accident that I spent over a year doing that, not by myself, with the community, before I was given the guidance that it was time to go close these other ones. So I had experience with it, and it wasn't going to freak me out too much. Now, what came in, and who knows, it may change, but what came in was that there were, I think it was 16. My mind is not quite there right now. I think it was 16 of these gateways to close, and they are quite frankly scattered around the globe at various places. Some of them easier to reach than others. Some of them easier to deal with than others. Some of them are fairly small. You know, they might be the size of a manhole cover. Some of them are over the course or diameter of several miles. And it's not that that's the only energy there, but it certainly is affecting things. And so over the next couple of years, I will be doing a lot of travel to do this kind of work. And I know some of these, I will definitely be inviting other people along with me to help me out with this, because they're not mine to do just by myself. Some of them I will be doing physically by myself, but again, have the energetic support of whatever network is created to support me in this. So in January, I guess, I actually took the first step in doing this work, which was to create what they had me think of as a demon deportation portal. A good friend of mine, when I first told her about this, well, it was one of the things that she brought up is, well, what are the demons going to do if you close the gateway and they can't get back home? Oh, that's a really good question. Because the job I'm doing is not to go find all the demons on the planet. I'm not Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's to go close the gateway so they're not leaking anymore. And so, again, I don't believe that there are armies of demons marching through these gateways all the time, but I certainly think that there are demons here who kind of accidentally slipped and fell through the hole, so to speak. And so they had me set up a demon deportation portal. And they set it up with very distinct, specific parameters of, well, number one, it was one way, and it would take the demon wherever they came from. It would take them back to their own source. Number two, no being could go through the portal that was actually from here originally. So if you were born here, you're not going to accidentally stumble into this portal and poof, show up in some other demonic dimension. And three, it's automatic. And I found it very interesting, the parameters that they gave me. One was that all the demon had to do was think of home, think of where they came from, and they would be taken through it. It would be almost like the Star Trek beam me up kind of thing. They would get brought from wherever they are on the planet to that portal, and then they would get sent on their way back to where they came from. A second one is that they could have a desire to go back home. So that's another level of awareness, that they're desiring to not be here, that they want to go home. But again, same thing, they're automatically, instantaneously taken to that portal and then taken back through it. And then the third way, and I found this one perhaps the most fascinating of the three, was that they get released from whatever is keeping them here. And so if there are beings, demons, who did get called here by some, again, someone practicing some form of black magic or whatever, I can't go immediately release them or clear them, but as soon as a light worker comes across them who does free them from that, they will again immediately be sent back where they came from. And so that's all set up. And so it's time to close the first one of those gateways, to close that first portal. And so that's what I will be doing on the solstice, on Wednesday, the 20th of June. And where I'll be doing that is in Washington, D.C. Now, I don't have the exact location yet. And I'm hopeful that after it's closed, perhaps some things in Washington, D.C. will start to change. I don't know what that might be. I don't know how much this regular or ongoing influx of negative energy has created any of what actually is negative that seems to be going on there. But I'm hopeful that closing it and neutralizing the negative energy that has spread out from it will certainly help to change the situation. But I don't know what that might be. So anyway, I bring this up partly to put it out there, partly to claim my part of this path, partly to express my truth, partly to invite you along. Obviously, if anyone lives in the area and wants to join me down there, that's great. But more so than coming along physically is coming along energetically. Now, I do not have a specific timeline for when I'm going to do what that day. I know that by time the dinner hour rolls around, what I have to do will be completed. My plan would be to start fairly early in the day doing it. But what I would ask of you, if you're willing, if you're not, that's fine. Use your discernment. But if you're willing, would be to send energy to that, whether you send it now, whether you send it over the next couple of days, or whether you send it on Wednesday, or all of the above. Send energy to support that if you're willing. And I will gratefully accept that energy and use it in this process of closing the portal, closing that demonic gateway. Because, well, the reason that they gave me that it was time to close these now is that we've reached a level where we've cleared enough, in spite of what we're seeing out there in the world, all the negative that we're perceiving, we've cleared enough of the negative off of the planet that this influx of energies through these gateways is actually now, I don't want to say slowing down in the sense that we have some deadline we have to reach, but it now is slowing down the process of lifting the vibration of the planet, ascending the planet, and doing what we're all here to do, coming into our power. It's that energetically the planet is ready. We as a group are ready. Humanity is ready now to cut this off, to be able to have less negative energy that we're swimming around in individually and collectively so that we can move forward more quickly perhaps. But anyway, that's the timing. So, and that would be my request, is that if you think of this, to send light that way to that work. And I don't look at this as my work. I look at it as our work. I happen to be in the same way as in doing this radio program. I happen to be the one giving voice, or I happen to be the body that is taking the actions. But I don't do any of this alone. And another thing that I know deeply from within is that everything that has been done by every light worker on the planet has gotten us to the place where it was time to close these portals. So if all of that work that you've done had not been done, I couldn't go there and close the portal anyway. And that's true for every one of us. I truly believe that every step we take builds on every step we've already taken. And that's how I look at this. And so I look at this as an honor to be doing it, rather than as some great accomplishment on my part. And so I thank you for whatever energy you would send, however you would choose to send it. If you want to do a chant or toning on that day, that would be awesome. That's one of my favorite ways to move energy. And if you hear about someone getting arrested for making a lot of noise at the Capitol, that might be me. I have no idea what form this is going to take, but I will be doing what I do and open to receiving whatever you might offer. So thank you for your listening ear, as another friend of mine likes to say. And at this point, I'm going to switch gears once more, and we will do some channeling. So as always, all you need to do is allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning and open up the doorway to allow whoever might come in next to speak to us. So Hello, dear ones. This is Archangel Michael, come to be with you today. Welcome. So, we would go back to where he began today and talk about celebrating Father's Day, each and every one of you. Male or female, you have the divine father in you. You have the divine masculine in you. And that energy is that energy of expression outward into the world. And divine mother is that energy of receiving. And they work together. They are inextricably tied and linked together. And so it is it is not just in celebration of Father's Day or Divine Masculine Day that we speak to you. It is celebrating divine polarity, that flow of energy that is outward and inward. You cannot have an inhalation without an exhalation. You can't have an exhalation without an inhalation, but only if you die at the end of that exhalation. So that energy of polarities is one of the strongest experiences you have, but it is not about good and evil. It is not about right and wrong. It is about expression and impression. It is about movement out, action in the world, and it is about receiving. And so the energy that the mass consciousness in this country is celebrating today is that of action. But what we would say to amplify this in the energy of the divinity, it is about action in balance. In other words, with the receiving. And that is the part of the equation where things get fuzzy for many, because they think that the action is what creates the receiving. It is not. The action puts forth the energy. The energy must return. Your energy is like the proverbial boomerang. It always returns. Whatever you put out, you get back. That is the law of energy. Unfortunately, most often people do not have the clarity to put forth only one energy, and so they put forth confusing things, and then they get a confusing life. Things do not work out the way they desire all the time. But it is not the action per se that brings it back. It is that there is a flow. Energy you might look at as if it were a circle or a spiral or an ellipse or an oval. In any case, it is complete. It is a circuit of energy. What goes out follows the circuit and must return. It is the interference patterns of multiple things being sent out that contradict with each other that prevent the certainty of what you're going to experience being what you put out directly. But why are we saying this? Because it is about stepping into and bringing that which gets lost. So many in the experience of separation, you're not just experiencing separation from divinity, but there is a separation between the masculine, the expressive energy, and the feminine, the receptive energy. And what we would do today with you is link them together more closely. Remind you that they are linked. That as soon as you take action, you are automatically needing to open the doors of receptivity, because what you put out will return. It is like putting the cat out at night. It's going to come back. And so allow yourself to breathe into that. To breathe into that idea that you cannot have the masculine without the feminine. You cannot have the father without the mother. It takes the seed and the egg. It takes the sperm and the egg to create new life, to create a new period. And that is true energetically. It takes that which goes in and that which receives that which goes in. And so allow yourself to breathe into that and connect right now, if you will, with your divine masculine. Consciously choose to open up as if this were the beginning of the show and you were starting that first stage. You're opening up to your divinity, but you're specifically opening in this moment to that which is your divine masculine energy, and you're allowing that to expand and fill you. And feel that. Feel that. It is not taking action out of fear. It's taking action out of trust. It is expressing from the knowing of the light, from the experiencing of the light and the love and the joy and the divinity that you are. So allow that feeling to expand throughout your being, throughout your physical body, your emotional, your mental, your entire energy field. And yet, that energy alone is incomplete. And so now open to bringing up that which is your divine feminine, allowing that energy to fill you, allowing the merge to happen between the two. And it is not receiving because you have to. It's not receiving because you're a victim. It's not receiving because something is forced upon you. It is receiving because you open to it, because it is right, because it is choice. And let that energy of receptivity, true receptivity, not passivity where things are done to you, but receptivity where you eagerly open to them and accept them. Allow that energy to fill you physically, fully, emotionally, fully, mentally, fully. And in some ways, the divine masculine and the divine feminine, they are like, shall we say, light and sound. In other words, they can both exist in the same space without interfering with each other. And in fact, they work very well together. It's nice that you can both see and hear at the same time. They are complementary. They work together. And so allow yourself. Allow yourself to recognize both of these energies in you. And know that every time you step into the divine masculine to express something, to do something, to take action, at the same time, you are stepping into the divine feminine, the receiving. You are opening the door for that which you are putting forth to bring back its fruits to you. Every time. And you can think of this image, dear ones. An image from some circus posters, perhaps, where it is the face of the woman on one half of the body and the face of the man on the other. That is you. That is you. Thankfully, not physically, but energetically, that is you. And the more you embrace that, the more you open to that, the more you choose to express that, the more easily your flow will move. The more easily what you put forth will come back and create what you desired when you were putting it forth. And so allow yourself to breathe into that. Allow yourself to breathe into that wholeness. Even as at this time, we give a little energetic burst to help the connecting of the masculine and feminine within your energy field so that they are more experienced as connected than experienced as separate. So just allow yourself to breathe into that as we take our leave. And know that even as we take our leave, our love stays with you. And know that we brought this to you because you are strong enough to receive it now. You are ready. Namaste, dear ones. Okay, thank you, Michael. And once more, thank you to all of you out there listening and co-creating with me here today. I cannot do this without you. And Doug, anytime you want to start those chimes, that would be wonderful. So, as always, I can't do it without you, and that includes at the mental conscious level. So if you have feedback, comments, questions, what you like, what you don't like, let me know. If you have things you'd like to hear about or guests you'd like to know of or bring on the show, that would be wonderful as well. But thank you again for joining me here today, co-creating this with me, and for being open to experience this. You put forth the energy, and you open to receive. Just like Michael said. So you took the action to join us, and you opened to receive at the same time. All right, I will be back same time, same place next week. I hope you'll join me. Remember, you never know where this show will go, and you never know where you're going to go until you get there. So allow yourself to be merged. feminine, divine masculine as one in whatever body you're in. And know that I wish you all the best over the next week. Much love and namaste, my friends.